I'll now read our scripture passage for this morning. It's Job 40, 6 through 14. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Would you really challenge my justice? Would you declare me guilty to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and splendor and clothe yourself with honor and glory. Pour out your raging anger. Look on every proud person and humiliate him. Look on every proud person and humble him. Trample the wicked where they stand. Hide them together in the dust. Imprison them in the grave. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can deliver you. This is the word of the Lord.
At Imprint Church, we usually go through books of the Bible. And we are currently on the book of Job. And we're almost done with the book of Job. Next week's actually our last week. And today, we'll basically cover Job chapter 40 and 41. And it's an interesting two chapters, because one, this is God speaking. Like God's been, he hasn't really spoken in much of Job, and now we get to hear from God. And two, we're introduced to some interesting creatures, two creatures named Behemoth and Leviathan. What is that? Who are they? And so now, before we continue on, I want to first remind ourselves of some things. And the first, that the book of Job is full of poetry. So when we read this book, we want to keep in mind that there are elements of poetry throughout the book. So at times, things aren't meant to be taken at full face value. And so the example I gave when I preached on Job chapter 1 way back was that my mother's anger burned with the force of 1,000 suns. And so now I'm not literally talking about 1,000 suns burning, but you get the idea that she was livid. And so we're to reflect and analyze things such as imagery and figurative language. And second, I want to also quickly point out here, God is talking to humans. And so God is purposely using human ideas and understanding. And so the point, what I'm trying to point out is God is talking in a way that will allow humans to begin to understand. And so for example, on the internet, there's something great called ELI5. It means explain like I'm five. And so it's when someone, they can't wrap their head around the concept. And so they ask someone else to explain that concept in a way that even a five-year-old would understand it. Sometimes it's so complex that someone would comment afterwards and be like, okay, now explain like I'm three. But an example is the second law of thermodynamics. It states that the total entropy of an isolated system always increases over time, meaning energy tends to disperse and processes are generally irreversible. Now, for those that didn't care too much about science, you might be wondering, like, what? What is that about? And so an example of explain like I'm five for the second law of thermodynamics will be something along the lines of, think of your room. Your room starts off clean, but over time, if you don't put the energy to clean it, it's going to get dirty. It's going to get messy. Your room will naturally move towards being messy as time passes. And so that's entropy. In other words, disorder. So the second law of thermodynamics essentially says that things naturally get messier, colder, more disorganized over time. They get more chaotic. It goes from order to chaos. And now I share that. I share this because in a way, God is using things that humans would understand at the time of Job to make his point here. And so God uses two, and many believe that these were like some type of mythological creatures at the time. He uses these two creatures to get his point across. It's about imagery, right? It's using these creatures that Job knows about so that he would begin to understand what God's talking about. And man, oh boy, there's so much densely packed here. As we continue, and just continue to think about the poetry and the themes present throughout the Bible. And so as we dig into the scripture for today, I want to quickly remind us of some more context. I know that was some context there, but a little bit more context. Right, we're at the point in the book of Job where God finally answers Job. This whole time, Job felt like he had a good case in his hands. But as we saw last week, God doesn't answer Job on why Job is suffering. Rather, God points out his supremacy. God governs all, right? God governs what we cannot understand. He's saying, Job, how can you claim to know anything? How can you claim to bring anything before me when you don't even understand how the world works? And then Job realizes how small he is, and he's just like, oh, he's scared now. He's like, okay, I'll be silent. I'll be quiet now. But God, and so God continues in today's passage, and it says, Job chapter 46, it says, then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. It says, God answered Job out of the whirlwind. And again, think of this as imagery. And I imagine a situation where, right, it's stormy, it's battering winds, like whoosh. It gives us an idea of just how terrifying, how almighty God is. And I kind of like sense God's tone. God's tone of voice. And God says to Job in the passage we read together, Job, if you think you can do better, then why don't you? Do it. Present yourself like me. Pour out your anger. Bring down the proud if you can. Bring down the wicked. Judge them if you can. If you can do all that, God's telling Job, I will acknowledge you that you can save yourself. But we know, and Job knows, he can't do any of that. Right? It's something only God can do. And so God is getting his point across to Job, just how out of reach God is, just how powerful God is, how God is in control of everything, how God has everything on a leash. So God has authority over all of creation and all aspects of creation. And with that, we're introduced to the two beasts that further demonstrate God's power and his dominion over all things. And so let's look at our first creature, and it's the land beast, Behemoth. And this is my first point. God is Lord over order. And I get this from Job chapter 46 to 24. Now, if you read Job chapter 40, 15 to 24, we come to the conclusion that Behemoth is a land beast. And this land beast is massively strong. Like it just talks about power, strength, muscles. Like I've seen some photos of oxen, like they were natural and they were just ripped. And like I'd be scared to go on. And this Behemoth, it's not an ox, but it's exponentially scales above it. And one time I tried to pet a yak, and I thought I was going to die because it started chasing me. Behemoth, again, it's not an ox, but it just describes something like it. We don't exactly know what it is, but what we can gather from what it's telling us here is that it is a powerful creature. It is the pinnacle. It is at the top of land creatures. In Job chapter 40:19, even God says, Behemoth, is the foremost of God's works. Only his maker can draw the sword against him. Only God can draw a sword against him. And it tells us more. Behemoth, his bones are like bronze. His limbs are like iron. Right? This thing is a fortress. And usually, the backside, the tail, is usually seen as the weak spot. Now, that's the part you try to attack. But it says even here, even its tail is stiff like cedar. Now, trees are very beautiful, and we don't really think about their destructive power because they're kind of just still, they're just there. But have you seen photos of trees that just fall, right? They crush everything in there. They crush houses. They crush whatever is down. They are strong, right? This thing, Behemoth, is a complete unit. And look how in Job chapter 40, 19 to 24, Even though this massive creature, the tone kind of shifts. It seems rather tame. It has immense strength, but it's not destructive. Right? God's describing how he cares for Behemoth. It's weird. It seems rather orderly and structured. Right? It talks about how Behemoth, it's with the other wild beasts and it's playing around. It lies under the lotus plant. It's just pictured as almost minding its own business among nature. And with that, an important part to unpack then is how Behemoth is seen as the pinnacle of land creatures. It's a land beast. And in the Bible, as present throughout the Bible, there's a huge running theme of land. Land is very important in the Bible. And then to put it shortly, one side, land can function symbolically as order, as stability, habitation, structure. So Behemoth here, right, it represents a land beast. It is representing order. It is representing structure within the world. It represents the stable forces. And here, as we see God taking care of Behemoth, God not only has it on a leash, God is providing for it. God is making a point how God rules over the strongest forces of order in creation. Again, Behemoth represents the strength and stability of creation. And God, as Lord, right? He's Lord over order. He is Lord over stability. God provides for the land. God provides for all of creation. God provides for Behemoth. This includes human structures like governments, cities, nations. God is the one who put them in order. God is the one who provides stability. Humans cannot control order. They can't impose stability. Only God can. And that is mind-blowing. And remember in the very beginning what Job said, Job chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, it says, and this is when Job, he found out that just everything, his whole life just came crashing down. He says, Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship, saying, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so there are seasons when it feels like the Lord is giving, is blessing you. This is like kind of, I would say, like a Behemoth season where God is blessing you with order in life, with stability in life. Right? It might feel like your career is progressing well. You're doing well in school. You started earning a good amount of money. Your family is healthy. Your faith feels rock solid. Right? Even the most stable parts of life come from God's sustaining hand. God has that on a leash. But this is then a great reminder. Do not trust stability alone. Trust God who sustains that stability. Your strength, success, and security are all gifts from God who governs Behemoth. In your seasons when it feels like the Lord is giving, blessing you, make sure you praise him. Make sure you worship him. Make sure to thank him. Now with Behemoth, that we briefly covered along with the land theme, right, he's a land beast. I want to move on to our second creature then. This is a Leviathan. And Leviathan's kind of like the opposite. It's a sea beast. And with that, my second point is then this. God is Lord over chaos. So first we have order. Now we have chaos. And then all of chapter 41 is about Leviathan. And the big thing to know is that Leviathan is scary. It's untamable, and it's a beast of the sea. Right? And sea is often associated with chaos and danger. Again, it's a running theme in the Bible. And so similar to Behemoth, Behemoth is the pinnacle of the land creatures. Leviathan, then, is like the creature of the sea. It's terrifying. Again, it's terrifying, untamable, it's uncontrollable. Now, if you know your Bible a little bit, you know that Leviathan actually mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. It's mentioned in Psalms, and it's mentioned in Isaiah. But to put it shortly, Leviathan and the sea is a symbol for chaos, for evil, for hostile kingdoms. And it makes sense. Because just as we talked about the theme of land representing order and stability, in the Bible we have a theme of the sea. It represents chaos and danger. And this theme is present throughout. Anytime in the Bible you come across mentions of the sea, think about it. Like, see what it's saying. And then, so Leviathan here represents the sea beast, and it's representing chaos, representing uncontrollable force within the world. It represents instability. It is threatening. And here we see God describing the sheer terror of this beast, right? Just how incredible of a beast this is, and how no human could ever lay a hand on it. And yet, it's something God draws out with the fish hook. He's like playing with it. He's fishing for it. Humans cannot control chaos. They cannot control instability. But God can. God has Leviathan on a leash. God has chaos on a leash. And so now, when we think of chaos, we think about, at the very least, like something that's scary and loathsome, right? There's like an element of surprise, something we don't know. It's the unknowable. And surely that's got God on his toes sometimes, right? Like Leviathan, chaos. It almost sounds like a creature that's gone wild. And God is like paying extra attention, making sure to keep it under control. But what if I told you right now, God is sitting on his throne at peace. God is not anxious. He's not worried. God's not caught off guard by chaos, because he knows he has everything under his control. God has no anxiety, right? He is just chilling. He is sitting on his throne at peace. Nothing happens without God's approval. Even forces such as chaos, which is supposed to be uncontrollable, which is supposed to be untamable, God has it under control. That is mind-blowing. And so bringing back what Job said in the beginning, Job chapter 1, 20, 21, we're going to read this again. We read it before, we're going to read it again. Then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And so there, just as there's seasons where it feels like God is blessing you, where God is giving you, providing for you, there will also be seasons when it seems like the Lord is taking away. And it may feel like you're experiencing chaos in your life. This is like the Leviathan season, where God just, for some reason, seems to be taking away through the chaos, through the instability that comes in your life. You might be going through an illness, through cancer. You might have lost your job. You might have broken relationships. Your family might be breaking down. You might be struck with overwhelming anxiety, grief, a death of someone in your life. And it's hard to say this, especially as it's something we don't fully understand, but even the most chaotic parts of life are ultimately under God's sovereign control. Leviathan represents that force that humans cannot control, but God's here saying, I have it on a leash. I draw it out with the fish hook. The chaos that overwhelms you is not beyond God's authority. Right? Even the most frightening circumstances in life are not outside God's sovereignty. The chaos that transforms or overwhelms you does not overwhelm God. God governs both realms. He governs both the order and stability and chaos and instability simultaneously. God has both Behemoth and Leviathan on a leash. He has them both under his control. And before we move on to our last point, I just want to briefly talk about God's power that is just incomprehensible to us. And just like we can't fully understand, right, God's telling Job, you don't understand how the world works. And just like how we don't understand creation and how God governs creation, I don't think we can fully understand God's immense power and sovereignty, right? And this is the best I could think of. The best word we have as humans to describe God's power is that he is omnipotent, that God is all-powerful. That's the best we can do. Like, meaning there's no limit to God's power. God's power is unlimited. Like, that seems like an accurate description, right? That seems pretty accurate. No limit to power. What can be greater than that? But what if I told you, I feel like that pales in comparison to God's actual power. Even, like, in our puny human minds, our puny human comprehension, unlimited, infinite power is the highest we can think of. But I feel like that's putting a limit on God's power. And I know that sounds weird and almost contradictory, but we can't fathom the power of God, right? God has to try and use two creatures that were known to be of the strongest during Job's time to try to explain his power, even if they're mythological creatures. Our two beasts today, Behemoth and Leviathan, they are unmatched. And not just as creatures, but as forces. They're forces of order, forces of chaos that they represent. But even those forces are nothing before God. There's something my chemistry teacher said in high school that still stuck to me today. He said, no matter how hard you try to teach your dog chemistry, it will never grasp chemistry. And I'm not comparing ourselves to dogs, but in the same way, no matter how much we try to take in and learn about God's power and sovereignty, I don't think we'll ever be able to fully grasp just how powerful, how grand, how glorious God is as Lord. But God did provide us with something. The best of news, the grounds for our hope. We have been given a glimpse of God's glory, the best that is to come. Which leads me to my third point, is that Jesus is God, Lord of all. And so just as God has explained to Job how God has complete control over Behemoth and Leviathan, God has complete control over the land and the sea, over order and chaos, I would argue, next, we see Jesus displaying the same complete control over land and sea, over order and chaos. First, let's get this straight. Jesus has been given all authority by God. And this is from Matthew 28:18. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And we believe Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord of all. In Acts 10:36, he sent the messages to the Israelites proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And now, I preached at Woodinville 3 weeks ago, and during that time I mentioned how Job's speech pointed forward to a mediator, to a redeemer, that it pointed to Christ. Well, today I want to take some time and point out how Behemoth and Leviathan also point to Christ and his lordship. Right? The message of Job, it's not just about suffering. It ultimately points forward to hope. It points forward to Jesus. And so I'm going to do this very briefly with some of the miracles that Jesus performed. And I believe they relate to this theme of being in control over land and sea, over order and chaos. And so the first miracle that I want to go over is Jesus calming the sea. In Mark 4:35-41, we're told Jesus calms the storm. And it says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the, so Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to die?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." And again, I'm going to argue, the sea is a symbol of chaos. Right here, it's not just about nature obeying, it's about chaos obeying Jesus. Then did you catch Jesus? How at peace he was? Right, he was sleeping on a cushion. And right? The authority God describes in Job is revealed fully in Christ. The God who rules Leviathan is the same Lord who calms the storm with the word, Jesus Christ. The one who rules chaos is not distant. He came near to us. He is Christ. The one who controls the storms of creation walks with us in our storms. Now, this next two is really interesting. They go together. They come right after each other. And so, we're going to go to John chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. And this is when Jesus feasts the 5,000. And I would argue here, this demonstrates Jesus' authority over order. Jesus' authority to provide stability. Right? Jesus is miraculously providing food for 5,000 people. It's the theme of land and behemoth. Jesus has authority over and is Lord over behemoth. And interestingly, right, immediately after this story where, you know, Jesus had them sit on the grass and he provided fish and bread. Interestingly, right after that, we get the miracle of Jesus walking on water. And so I want to then look at that real quick. Now, both the Matthew and John versions, they ring true in that they both write about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and they both immediately after that talk about Jesus walking on water. But I like the Matthew version for this. And so in Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33, it tells us that Jesus walked on water. And it gives us more context. It seems as though it says the boat was beaten by waves and the wind was against them. And so I'm guessing there's a storm going on. It sounds rough. It's obviously not calm. And yet in the middle of the situation where the sea is rough, Jesus casually walks on the sea. And I'd argue then this displays Jesus' authority over the sea, over chaos and danger. And not only that, Peter was able to also walk on the sea when he focused on Jesus. Right? The winds and waves eventually did scare Peter enough that he started sinking. But Jesus immediately took Peter's hand and pulled him out of the sea. And Jesus' response was, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then it says, the disciples proclaimed, "Truly, he is the Son of God." And I think it's easy when we're being blessed and provided, right? The behemoth season. When life seems to be in order and stable, it's easy to have faith in God. But when you're in the middle of the storm, when you're in the middle of the sea, right, you're being buffeted by the storm, the Leviathan seasons, when life seems to just spiral down because chaos and instability starts to take a hold on your life, are you holding on to your faith? Or is the fear of chaos, fear of instability gripping you so hard, it's preventing you from looking at Christ? Are you continuing to worship God, proclaiming that Jesus is the promised Savior? Because just know, Jesus is Lord of all, including order, including chaos. And just like when God displayed his power over order and chaos, right? By providing for Moses and the Israelites, right? He miraculously brought them out of Egypt. What did he do? He parted the Red Sea. He provided for them by having them walk through on land. But when the Egyptians tried to do that, they were taken out by the sea, right? God still continues to do the same for us today through Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus saved Peter as Peter was under the sea sinking, Jesus is able to save you because he is Lord over all. And lastly, I want to briefly point out that God's plan doesn't just end with us being saved through Jesus Christ. There's more. God's story ends with restoration. Right? Scripture ends with hope. In Revelation, there's some sketchy beast figures that wreak havoc. But just know, ultimately, Jesus asserts his authority. And in Revelation 21, it says the new creation appears. And it's really interesting because then it says, the sea was no more. And I take that as this means chaos will be gone. Suffering will end. And creation will fully be restored. Right? The chaos of this world is temporary. And God is moving history toward complete restoration. And we get to be a part of it. So in the context of Job's suffering, Behemoth and Leviathan teach us that creation is bigger than human understanding, but both order and chaos still exist within God's rule. Right? What appears chaotic to humans, what appears chaotic to us, it's still under God's divine authority. Right? The point isn't that chaos wins, but that even chaos is subordinate to God. It's on a leash. In the beginning, it says in Genesis chapter 1, 6 to 9, God separated the land and the sea. Right? God separated order and chaos. Behemoth, land. Leviathan, sea. Right? They represent the strongest forces of creation. And God's speech today, it's a demonstration of his divine kingship over creation. Some of you are standing on solid ground today. Praise the Lord. Some of you, though, may feel like you're drowning in the sea today. But the message from Job is this: the God who rules the land also rules the sea. The God who governs Behemoth also governs Leviathan. And the one who holds these forces in his hands is the same Lord who holds your life. And you might feel discouraged at times because life doesn't make sense. But God reminds us this: we do not have to understand everything in order to trust him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for, first, that we get to be a part of just your family, your kingdom, that you have provided a way for us, you, the God who is so sovereign, who just has forces of things such as order and chaos under your control, on a leash. A God who we can't even fathom the power because you are so great. I thank you that we get to have a relationship with you, that we get to have a personal relationship. And not only that, but you have provided us a way to be with you, because through our own powers, we like just like how you told Job to do, like we can't save ourselves, but you have provided a way for us to be saved. And I just thank you for that through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as you have given all authority to Jesus, and Jesus himself is God, and he is also Lord of all. He controls chaos. He controls order. I pray, Lord, won't you help us to keep our eyes on Christ, keep our eyes focused on Christ in the best of times, in the behemoth seasons, and in times where we're just sinking under the sea. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.